Hi, my name is Michael. I'm an alcoholic. Y hola, mi nombre es Michael. Soy un alcohólico. Y estos son los 12 conceptos, forma corta. La responsabilidad final y la autoridad fundamental de los servicios mundiales de AA deben siempre residir en la conciencia colectiva de nuestra comunidad. La Conferencia de Servicios Generales se ha convertido en casi todos los aspectos en la voz activa y la conciencia efectiva de toda nuestra comunidad en asuntos mundiales. Para asegurar su dirección eficaz, debemos dotar a cada elemento de AA, la conferencia, la Junta de Servicios Generales y sus distintas corporaciones de servicio, personal directivo, comités ejecutivos, de un derecho de decisión tradicional. Nosotros debemos mantener a todos los niveles de responsabilidad un derecho de participación tradicional, ocupándonos de que a cada clasificación o grupo de nuestros servidores mundiales les sea permitida una representación con voto, en proporción razonable a la responsabilidad que cada uno tenga que desempeñar. En toda nuestra estructura de servicio mundial, un derecho de apelación tradicional debe prevalecer, asegurándonos así que se escuche la opinión de la minoría y las peticiones de la rectificación de los agravios personales sean consideradas cuidadosamente. La conferencia reconoce también que la principal iniciativa y la responsabilidad activa en la mayoría de sus asuntos debe ser ejercida en primer lugar por los miembros custodios de la conferencia, cuando ellos actúan como la Junta de Servicios Generales de Alcohólicos Anónimos. La Carta Constitutiva y los estatutos son íntegros legales, instrumentos legales, y los custodios están por consiguiente totalmente autorizados para administrar y dirigir todos los asuntos de servicios. La Carta de la Conferencia en sí misma no es un instrumento legal. Se apoya en la fuerza de la tradición y en las finanzas de AA para su eficacia. Los custodios son los principales planificadores y administradores de los grandes asuntos de política y finanzas globales. Con respecto a nuestros servicios constantemente activos e incorporados separadamente, los custodios, como síndicos fiscales, ejercen una función de supervisión administrativa por medio de su facultad de elegir a todos los directores de estas entidades. Buenos directores de servicio en todos los niveles son indispensables para nuestro funcionamiento y seguridad en el futuro. La dirección básica del servicio mundial que una vez ejercieron los fundadores de Alcohólicos Anónimos tiene necesariamente que ser asumida por los custodios. A cada responsabilidad de servicio le debe corresponder una autoridad de servicio equivalente y el alcance de tal autoridad debe estar siempre bien definido. Los custodios deben siempre contar con los mejores comités permanentes y con directores de las corporaciones de servicio, ejecutivos, personal de oficina y consejeros bien capacitados. La composición, cualidades, procedimiento de iniciación y derechos y obligaciones serán siempre asuntos de verdadero interés. La conferencia cumplirá con el espíritu de las tradiciones de AA, teniendo especial cuidado de que la conferencia nunca se convierta en sede de peligrosa riqueza o poder. Que fondos suficientes para que su funcionamiento, más una reserva adecuada, sean su prudente principio financiero. Que ninguno de los miembros de la conferencia sea nunca colocado en una posición de autoridad desmedida sobre ninguno de los otros. Que se llegue a rodar las decisiones importantes por su discusión, votación y siempre que sea posible por unanimidad sustancial. Que ninguna actuación de la conferencia sea punitiva a personas o una incitación a controversia pública. Que la conferencia nunca deba realizar ninguna acción de gobierno autoritaria. Y que la Sociedad de Alcohólicos Anónimos, a la cual sirve la conferencia en sí misma, siempre permanezca democrática en pensamiento y en acción. Gracias.
Gracias, Michael. Gracias. Me perdí sin los números. All right, and then we have another read here. Let me find it. I have asked Michael C. to come up and read the 12 traditions from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Morning.
Howdy.
Hi. Hi. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right. And Norm S. will read the origins of the Responsibility Declaration.
Hello, I'm Norma. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm serving Area 93 as your chair for this panel. Thank you, Helen, for asking me to participate. The responsibility statement reads, I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. It was written for the 1965 AA International Convention in Toronto. In an article titled, How I Am Responsible became a part of AA, from the GSO newsletter, Box 459, the article identifies former AA trustee Al S. as the author of the responsibility statement. In the souvenir book for the 1965 convention, Dr. Jack Norris writes, we must remember that AA will continue strong only so long as each of us freely and happily gives it away to another person. Only as each of us takes our fair share of responsibility for sponsorship of those who still suffer, for the growth and integrity of our group, for our intergroup activities, and for AA as a whole. It is in taking responsibility that the real freedom and the enduring satisfaction of life are found. AA has given us the power to choose to drink or not to drink, and in doing so has given us the freedom to be responsible for ourselves. As we become responsible for ourselves, we are free to be responsible for our share in AA. And unless we happily accept this responsibility, we lose AA. Strange, isn't it? In a Grapevine article in October 1965, the responsibility statement is discussed. and Bill W. expresses his views. Two major thoughts stood out in the remarks of the many speakers, alcoholics and non-alcoholic, at AA's July Toronto convention. The first was admiration and gratitude for AA's startling success in sobering up hundreds of thousands of lost cause drunks. The other was concrete that the success which has come to AA over 30 years since its start in Akron, Ohio in 1935 would not lead us to any complacency about the size of the job still to be done. The theme of the convention was responsibility. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. AA's co-founder, Bill, in his talk to over 10,000 attending the major sessions of the convention, stressed the need for cooperation with all those, with all who work on the problem of alcoholism. The more than 100 agencies in the United States and Canada alone now engage in research, alcohol education, and rehabilitation. Too often we have deprecated and even derided these projects of our friends just because we do not always see eye to eye with them, Bell said. We should very seriously ask ourselves how many alcoholics have gone on drinking simply because we have failed to cooperate in good spirit with these many agencies. No alcoholic should go mad or die merely because he did not come straight to AA in the beginning. Next page. The first concern of AA members should be with problem drinkers the movement is still unable to reach, Bill said. He estimated that there are 20 million alcoholics in the world today, 5 million in the U.S. alone. Some cannot be reached because they are not hurt enough. Others because they are hurt too much, he declared. Many sufferers have mental and emotional complications that seem to foreclose their chances. Yet it would be conservative to estimate that at any particular time, there are 4 million alcoholics in the world who are able, ready, and willing to get well if only they knew how. When we remember that in the 30 years of AA's existence, we have reached less than 10% of those who might have been willing to approach us, we begin to get an idea of the immensity of our task, of the responsibilities with which we will always be confronted. There have been two advisory actions from the General Service Conference regarding the Declaration of Responsibility since it was introduced. In 1971, the conference recommended that, quote, the Literature Committee, following the general feeling of the conference, reaffirm both the spirit and the wording of the I Am Responsible Declaration from the International Convention held in 1965. And in 1977, the conference recommended the Responsibility Declaration not be changed, as it was made at the 1965 International Convention in Toronto. Thank you.
Thank you again, Norm. Okay. Now, will you please join me in welcoming our first speaker, Debbie J., Panel 57 delegate, past delegate.
I have a lot of stuff and I probably won't use any of it except the timer. Oh, and then we have to do this. Okay. That's sanitizing. Okay, so we're going to set a timer and I'll start talking to you. My name is Debbie and I'm an alcoholic. And I think when the lady was up here reading before us, I think she said not to use our last name. So I won't tell you my last name because she said not to. Anyway. I served Area 93 in many positions, but the most recent is member, actually, but was Panel 57 delegate. So I'm just going to first, and I'll tell you, my sobriety date is April 1st, 1983. I got into general service when I was about 10 years sober, and I had been part of a meeting that needed a GSR, and I was working about 60 to 80 hours at the time. There's no way in heck I could do it. But then I got an idea. I think of it as Debbie Plans. And I got an idea. There was a woman in my meeting who had shot off her leg on her last drunk. And she'd been sober maybe 2 years. And she was always bored and always depressed. And I thought, well, she should be the GSR. I don't know why I thought that. I wasn't her sponsor or anything. So anyway, I told her that she should be the GSR, and she didn't like that idea. So I said, I'll be the GSR, and you can be the alternate, and that way you can learn about it. I knew nothing about it, but okay, I'll bring you along. You can learn about it. And so we went to a few events together, and we went to some area assemblies, which involved traveling. She was missing a leg, and one of mine doesn't work, so we stayed in a hotel rather than camp out. But we had like a system. Like, she would get all the drinks and stuff them in her big pockets she always had, and I'd be balancing two plates, or I might have used a walker sometimes. But I mean, it was probably comical, but you guys didn't want to laugh out loud. But one time we went to an assembly in Morro Bay, and it was old Area 5. Area 93 wasn't around yet. I had to think about that. And I'd always thought general service was politics, people arguing and stuff like that. I didn't want any part of it. I knew about it. Contempt, prior to investigation. And I sat around a campfire meeting with these people. They were going to go to the assembly the next day, and I didn't hear any politics. And the only thing I heard that night was passion. Passion from these people who loved Alcoholics Anonymous so much and wanted to give back for all that they had been given, and wanted it to be there for their grandkids and, you know, future generations. And they were passionate about this. And I remember sitting there, and it was a gorgeous night, and I remember sitting there and just thinking, oh my God, they got me. And sure enough, Kim, the lady that went with me, did not stay in general service, and I did. And I then served as district committee member for District 16, which is the one hosting this meeting today. And then I became district committee member, and they basically chaired the GSR meetings once a month. And then Area 93 was going to be born. And it was really exciting being involved in that process. I had no clue what I was doing, but I'd just go to the meetings and do what they told me to do. And in the year 2000, at the General Service Conference, the conference okayed a new delegate area, which was a huge deal. It was probably our third or fourth time asking for it. And it happened in a really unusual way that's called a floor action. And maybe Carla can tell you about that stuff later. But so I got to be part of forming this new area. And I mean, we had people from all over California coming to our first assembly. And we had some trustees from our general service office. I mean, it was just crazy. And I didn't know that it was that big. I knew it was a big deal to us, but I didn't know it was this historic event, which it was. So I think 92 was created 10 years before us. But anyway, we were going to have elections so that we would begin our what are called panels. 2001. We're odd years. Boy, are we odd. But we were going to have our elections. And I remember sitting in my car. My service sponsor had asked me to make myself available to serve as an officer. I didn't want to. I had some work I wanted to do at the district level. But because I adored this man and he was my service sponsor, I did what he asked. So I was sitting out in my car and I said, okay, God, I'm going to make myself available. Use me in any way that you want. But please, God, just don't make me treasurer, because I don't have the skills for that, and it would be really bad. Yeah, you know. I was the first treasurer for Area 93 and got to set up the database. I had to learn, because I was an escrow officer. I knew the escrow program. I didn't know anything else, and learning QuickBooks and Excel. And my service sponsor was an engineer, so he wanted reports out, you know, just about 50 million pages of reports. I finally had to say no to him, like, go away. But from there, I was able to serve as chairman, alternate delegate, and then delegate in the years 2007 and 2008. And boy, that was my rocket ship into the fourth dimension. General service has always been, it changed my sobriety completely. I mentioned that I made myself available, and I'm going to be talking to you about Concept 9 on leadership. In general service, and even some meetings I've been to, use the third legacy procedure for elections, but the question in general service, you don't run for office, you're not nominated. It's asked of everybody that's eligible, are you available? And it's a very serious question. And what I was told, and what I pass on to people that I'm the service sponsor to, is are you available means, is it going to be your first priority? You have to be willing to miss kids' birthdays, family events, Christmas parties, work sometimes. I mean, it has to be your very first priority. I was also told I could only wear one hat at a time, which meant I couldn't have any commitments at my home group, and I couldn't be involved in any other, I couldn't have a position at any other thing like H&I central office or anything else. So, because my commitment would suffer, my job would suffer. I didn't know what I was in for yet, but I would find out. And if I did that, if I just wore one hat, I would be able to do a very good job. So that's the way that I was trained, what I was told. Bill, we have some very clear explanations of what leadership is in Concept 9. Bill told us that good leadership can be here today and gone tomorrow. And our base for good leadership are the GSRs, the group members, the GSRs, the district committee members, our area committee chairs. All those people will be growing into the future leaders in general service and helping to guide AA and bring the group conscience to the general service conference, listen to what is said, and then use their right of decision to vote for what's good for all of AA. So we have to have a strong base and start grooming these service leaders. And that includes getting that service sponsor that I was talking about. So if you have a chance to attend events like a pre-conference workshop, if you receive an opinion poll from a delegate asking for your opinion, if you have the chance to go to a delegate report back, go ahead and go and bring some people that you sponsor. Bring some people from your group. You might have to drag them. It depends on what sort of sponsor you are. If you're one of those, I tell you what to do, you'll have great success. I'm not like that. I'm more pitiful, like, please don't make me go alone. So it's minimally successful. But I believe that one of the most moving and beautiful things that Bill ever wrote is his essay on leadership, published in a 1959 Grapevine article, and it's in Concept 9 in the service manual. I hope you read the whole thing someday. I used to read it before every meeting and assembly that I chaired, and certainly many times as I served as delegate. Bill told us that leaders do not drive by mandate, they lead by example. In other words, act for us, but don't boss us. And people will follow people that, you know, they want to join in with. If you're trying to boss around an alcoholic, you will not have success at all. He also said, a leader in AA is someone who can personally put principles, plans, and policies into such dedicated and effective action that the rest of us want to make certain to back him up and help him. When a leader drives us, we rebel. But if he's too wishy-washy, then he's really not a good leader. And I hope you do read that essay on leadership. One of my favorite parts of that concept says is the part that says, good leadership originates plans, policies, and ideas for the improvement of our fellowship and its services. But in new and important matters, it will nevertheless consult widely before taking decisions and actions. Good leadership will always remember a good plan or idea can come from anybody, anytime. And good leaders might get rid of their own original ideas, and if they use somebody else's, they'll give credit. And that was one that really, I had to really study that and really learn that consult widely before taking decisions and actions. In every position I held, I was sort of educated this way. You are a servant. So when you're sitting up on the stage as an officer of the area, say, for example, all those people out there are your bosses. And so you have to be courteous, you have to be patient, you have to answer every email, every phone call, everything. You behave as if they're your bosses. And that was a really good lesson to give me. And it was also, you know, helping with humility, because general service is what helped me learn about humility. And I hope maybe gain some, but I know I learned about it. But I had my ego knocked down many times in general service. My service sponsor once turned me at a dinner with everybody, and I said something to him, and he quietly said, "Oh, that's just your ego." And I was crushed. I was just crushed. I adore this man. And I sat there for a while in shock. And I thought about it, and I realized, oh, that's just my ego. And you know what? I think I didn't hit the timer. You guys, somebody yell what time it is at this point. It's not doing anything. Yeah, really. So back to what I was saying about we make ourselves available. I really want to stress that, because when we make ourselves available, like I told you, that's the first thing. And then we give our service resume to the people here and tell them what we've done. And then it's up to them to decide who will fill that position. The question is only, are you available? And then you can make yourself available for all the positions or only one. But it's just, the point is, you better be ready to serve. Because if you're in it for, I had to do an inventory of my motives. Do I really want to be the executive arm or the group conscience, or do I just want prestige and power? Am I searching for status? Do I think a trusted servant is a higher class member than the ordinary members? If my answers aren't clear, then it would be better for me and AA if I don't stand for election at that time. In general service, you develop qualities of responsibility and leadership over time. And I want to say, like, you start out in the beginning, and you're responsible to yourself and your sobriety, and then we go to the group level, and you serve at the group level. And then you find out that there's a whole world out there that goes beyond your group. And then at that time, you can start finding your niche in AA, and you can start becoming a leader through sponsorship, number one service, and through any of the many service opportunities that there are out there. And I think that's enough out of me, because I lost track of time. So I've been known to go over, so I'm sitting down just in case.
Thank you, Debbie. All right, and please join me in welcoming our next speaker, Jeff J., Panel 59, past delegate.
Hi everyone, I'm Jeff. I'm an alcoholic. I'm debating whether or not to lower my mask, but I think I'll keep it on unless anybody's having trouble understanding me. Thank you, Helen, for putting this together and asking me to be up here. And thank you for that excellent presentation, Debbie. Really nice. You can see why I chose her to be my service sponsor. She's amazing. I came in as a, well, let me start by reading what's on the page here. There's something to be said about, we learn how to do our jobs perfectly right about the time we're about to rotate. I've made quite a few presentations, and all of them with a script. The inherent problem with that is that I'll cover so much in detail that I end up just reading to you instead of looking at you while I'm talking to you. Never quite perfected that. And of course, our area kind of expects a written report, because not only for archival purposes, but to give to the translation people, and just helps, you know, for the ease of flow in the assembly environment. But from this point on, I'm not going to use
any kind of a written thing so that I can look at you and kind of practice what I was hoping to do all along, but wasn't able to perfect before I rotated. In 2002, I joined as a GSR. My sponsor appointed me. It wasn't like an election. It wasn't very structured. I had got a year sober back from going out, and he said, you're the GSR, and no one contested it. So I just found out where a GSR is supposed to show up and started to try to figure out what that meant. They told me I had to go to a meeting. Back then, we were four districts combined. So it was 1, 11, 16, and 17. We had a DCMC too. And I showed up to what was called a GSR orientation. And, you know, it's just a bunch of us, just a bunch of alcoholics volunteering their time, doing as well as they can, or maybe not so much, hard to say. But I got like a pile of papers thrown at me, and they said, the meeting's in that room. And that was my entire GSR orientation. So instead of being fed up with it, I just kind of like, okay, I guess I got to figure this out, you know, on my own. And I have to tell you that the mindset I went in with this was somebody who had just been beat to shit again by alcohol and drugs, come back a year prior, had to humble up because the disease was very sneaky, very cunning, very baffling to lure me to oblivion. And I was all of a sudden in oblivion, and I'm sitting around in a circle. My family's telling me, you know, you got to get on an airplane today and go to a place far away and detox for a month, and see you later. So I was in a humble state of mind when I came back, and I worked the steps thoroughly with a sponsor. And I was in the right, I think I was in the right mental attitude to come into service. And I just thought to myself, I'm going to do this service thing 100% like I did the steps. So I'm just going to figure out what it is. Obviously, this orientation is doing me no good whatsoever. I'm just going to figure it out. And that's what I commenced to do. I heard the term guardian of the traditions kind of thrown around. And as I listened more and just, you know, was immersed more and more in service, I understand that, you know, I was kind of like, I could be the go-to guy in the group when something came up that was rubbing the group wrong and they needed to comb it through the traditions. I learned also early on that I don't know is one of the best answers you could give in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you might tag on the line, I don't know, but I know where to find the answer. Because most of the time that's true. And a lot of it has to do with a table of contents in a service manual, in a 12 and 12, in a conference report. The table of contents is my friend. So I commenced to research what it would take to be the guardian of the traditions for my home group. Today, when I'm asked, you know, about things like to do with general service, and one of the questions I'm asked often is, the 12 concepts. Can you take me through the 12 concepts? I said, well, how well versed are you in the traditions? You know, eh. I said, why don't you just not talk, don't even consider the concepts at all. Let's go through the traditions. Because they're way more important. Even at the conference, when I was a delegate in panel 59, so I got to be right on the heels of Debbie, who had two very tumultuous conferences, and I also had one tumultuous and one healing. The premise that I picked up the most on when meeting with trustees and different people that were looking at agenda items was this idea of combing them through the traditions. And that was like what they were charged to do and what I would be charged to do as a delegate serving the U.S. and Canada. You know, I get your opinions on matters, agenda items and such. I take them to the conference so that I let the body know that the sentiment over here on the West Coast in Central California is such and such, but then I'm done with that responsibility. Now my responsibility is to the U.S. and Canada to listen to the whole picture and to get it all together and to comb things through the traditions and to hold people accountable who are maybe serving underneath me in the trustee position. Because remember, you know, the groups are the bosses, and it trickles all the way down. So I'm the boss of the General Service Board, you know. But really, literally what happens is you take your service hat off when you walk onto the conference floor. You put another one on. It's conference delegate. So there's a difference between a delegate of the area, which is 93 currently, and a conference delegate. Because when I take my area delegate hat off and I put on the conference delegate, now there's roughly 132 of us. And we're all the same. That includes some staff members, trustees, non-trustee directors, area delegates, etc. I found that perfecting the art of paraphrasing to be incredibly important. Because I'm going to have conversations with you one-on-one. I'm going to talk to groups. I'm going to talk to districts. I'm going to try to sum up agenda items for you. And when you have a conference background material that's 6, 8, 1,000 pages long, there's no chance. The TV was off for 2 years, and I read and read and read and read and read and read. But to convey something properly to another human being that's supposed to give me their input, that well-informed, I have to know how to paraphrase, which means I need to be true to the material. I need to be unbiased, which means if I'm leaning one way or another about it, you shouldn't know that. You should just hear it, but in an abbreviated form. So that I think, was born out of this idea of being guardian traditions at the home group. And what I needed to do was be able to paraphrase the 12 traditions. What I found was the best summary to put me in the headspace that I needed to be in to do that was out of tradition 12. It says the AA's 12 traditions repeatedly asked us to give up personal desires for the common good. We realize that the sacrificial spirit, well symbolized by anonymity, is the foundation of them all. I love to find things that were always and never and yes and no in our literature that were absolutes. I love doing that because they're not contestable. You know, I mean, everything's contestable. We're just a bunch of alcoholics trying to do this deal and not drink a day at a time. But and I'd always love to ask people, you know, what's the purpose of all the traditions? You know, and what's the purpose of tradition 12? Anonymity? No. Sacrificial spirit? Yes. Where do I find that? Well, I found it after the first 11 steps and embarking on the 12th step. It's a mind, it's an attitude, it's a heart attitude. It's, I'm going to give of myself, and I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to do it begrudgingly. I'm going to do it because I have a passion for this life I've been given. And Debbie spoke about passion, and that's, fortunately for me, that's what I saw when I came in. I'm also not timing myself. Isn't that funny? Okay. You know, one of the, you know, to stroke my own ego just for a second, when I was elected delegate, by the way, that was a humbling story too, because that came out of the hat. You know, as soon as I come out of a hat, that tells me that my higher power is like, yep, stay humble, pal, you know. You didn't win a popularity contest. You came out of a hat. So let's start there. I the pride that I have is that I'm the first homegrown delegate of Area 93, because every delegate before me was came over and did the transition from the old Area 5. When I came in 2002, I came into Area 93. And all I heard was passion, 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 passion. The people were so, I could just think of, like, there was a big, loving, heated exchange between Grapevine and Lavinia when I came in. And the arguments were passionate. And it didn't sound angry. It just was raw passion. And from the outside looking in, it might have looked angry, but it wasn't. And it was so heartfelt, and people would have tears expressing themselves. And everybody in an area committee meeting sat with their area manuals open. Everyone had one. It was in a binder, and everybody followed along and kept the chairperson responsible for running the meeting, and said point of order when something was a little askew, when we went out of sight of the lane lines and we needed to be brought back in. As Melvin knows, I'm an expert at point of order. But that passion was so contagious, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so special. And when I got to the conference, I carried that passion of Area 93 with me. I can see other areas that might have not been as passionate. I could see regions that seemed a little askew from my perspective. The Pacific region is an amazing region. But this idea of the sacrificial spirit, you know, starting at ground zero, eating some humble pie and just serving to the maximum as best I can. And listening to my service sponsor when she said, don't take on any new sponsees. Don't take on any commitments. You really only just need the one when you're this busy because it's going to consume you. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be a trustee. I've passed on it every time because I have to be honest with myself. So anyway, that 12th step, if I got through the first 11 humbly, drops me off at the traditions. And I could probably try to do some of my little paraphrasing, combing through some of these traditions, just to give an example of what I can do in the home group as a guardian of the traditions. For instance, we read Tradition 2 the other day as part of our regular 12 and 12 study, and that's where the terms about elder statesmen and leading deacons are talked about. It's also a really significant part of our birth of Alcoholics Anonymous when Bill is excited because he just got offered this amazing job at a hospital, and he's going to have his own drawing account in his office. And the guy was quoted as like saying, well, you know, you're broke as hell. And also that conversely, that someday this bunch of ex-drunks of yours is going to fill Madison Square Garden. You know, why would you starve while you're trying to make this happen? I'll give you a job, you know. And the group conscious spoke up, and there was this movement to that Bill listened to. Thank God he had an open mind and an open heart. And he saw like a sour face in Lois's, you know, demeanor too. She wasn't entirely thrilled about the idea. And it's crazy because I can't imagine being in that position and saying, no, this movement's too important. I don't know what moved that man, but, you know. Tradition 4, you know, neighboring groups, every group's autonomous, so every group has the right to be wrong. When I was DCM, I was told about a group that had in their bylaws, you shall not take any pills. Well, that rubbed neighboring groups wrong, and it said, if it's except when affecting AA as a whole or the groups that are nearby. And I was asked if I'd go speak to that group or at least find out what's up over there and why they have this and why they think they still are AA when telling people they can't take medicine prescribed by their doctor for any condition, that we're not medical experts. I went and talked to him, and the long story short was the person that started the meeting lost two family members because they took dosages of mental medicine that somehow or another didn't agree with them, and they died. You know, and he had a chip on his shoulder, and he started this meeting, and it was going to be, if you come to this meeting and you take anything, you can't share, you know, you don't participate, you listen, you know. And boy, I really set him off when I just gently, is that it? Gently suggested, you know, that that's not quite AA, you know. I set him off and learned his life story in about, you know, 2.5 minutes of rage. I just wanted to think, there was another, anyway, I think just the point I want to make is, you know, be in that right heart space to be of service. And the art of paraphrasing is very, very significant. If you drink in the item enough to understand it, then paraphrasing it should be a cinch. And it won't get lost in this game of telephone that we play among each other, and it becomes a convoluted piece of nothing like the original when it hits the end of the telephone line. That's important. And to say, I don't know, but I know where to find the answer. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And please join me in welcoming our final speaker, our current delegate, Carla Y. from Panel 71.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Carla, and I am an alcoholic. I want to give a special thanks to Helen and District 16 for putting on today's meeting. All of those who participated before me, thank you. You guys left big shoes to fill. I'm currently serving as the Area 93 Panel 71 delegate. I still get goosebumps when I say that. I do. Because I came into the rooms of AA just a low bottom lost drunk. Angry. I was an angry little thing. I'm like, you know, I tell people, this is me being nice. Can you imagine how mean I was before? I mean, and it is, and it, you know, that's what AA does for us. So, you know, my topic is about the General Service Conference. So let me just give you a little bit of brief information. So the conference has been held yearly since 1951. These yearly conferences began to see if whether this movement, meaning us, AA members, were interested enough and responsible enough and felt that our services were worthwhile to maintain so long as we'll need our society, referring to our fellowship as a society. The following is a reading from Bill W. at the 1954 Texas State Convention. The conclusion of every delegate who has been there that yes, we should take this over. So in 1955, we proposed to hold an international convention, at which time, on behalf of the old timers and Smithy and me, we shall say to you, here is the remainder of your third legacy. Our third legacy is service. This conference shall become our successor. To you, we hand the last torch. Carry on, face your destiny with surety and courage, and God love you. I mean, that doesn't sound like politics or anger or fights to me. You know, that sounds like people that really care about AA and, you know, the alcoholic that hasn't come into the rooms yet. And then, you know, that, and that's one of the things that, like, drew me to General Service. It did. Because, I was like a habitual criminal. I mean, I went in and out of jail. You know what I mean? I had felonies. I mean, sometimes I went to jail 2 times in 1 year. Yeah, like it was, you know, and when I went to jail, it was like no thing. You know what I mean? I was comfortable in jail because I got to, like, you know, rest my liver for a little bit and then come back out and drink some more and, you know, end up in the same exact place where I was. I had no clue AA existed. At the 1955 International Convention, the General Service Conference was designated as the actual voice and effective conscience of our whole society, meaning our fellowship again. This was done over the objectives of those who worried that such a gathering would result in politics, confusion, expense, and fruitless strife. Like Debbie was saying, I didn't want to be a part of it, you know? Our founders had faith that future generations of AA members could effectively take responsibility for maintaining our vital world services. You know, I listened to Debbie and I you know, listened to Jeff and, you know, these guys, I actually miss you guys in the area, but that's besides the point. But, you know, these guys were the people that motivated me to get involved into general service. You know, like general service was like this thing I wanted to become a part of. And I think that I fell so in love with general service because I was, you know, when I raised my hand at my home group, they were like, no, you can't go as a GSR. I was like, what? Like, no. I got told no like 3 times that I could not be the GSR for my home group. And it's not like there was anyone else willing to do the job. They just didn't want me to go. I was I'm still in a Spanish group, and, you know, the majority were men, and, you know, there was just this, like, macho attitude going on. But eventually, you know, after I never gave up and I kept being so stubborn, they finally let me go. So when I got to general service, I had already investigated what general service was. I actually had already gone to my district meetings, and the district had, like, you know, welcomed me with open arms, and, like, they were fine with me being there. I had no service commitment in the district for the first 9 months. I just wanted to see, like, if the members in my group were, like, you know, being truly honest, because I remember they were like, oh, no, if you go to general service, you're going to get drunk. And I was like, how am I going to get drunk if I'm in the middle of AA? You know, and I didn't get drunk. I actually fell in love, you know, with the program. I wanted to be like the best GSR possible. I wanted to be like, seriously, I had my little cape and everything, my reports. I mean, and I made mistakes and lots of them, you know? But one thing that was clear was, you know, that I could go to the assemblies and I could be the voice of my group, you know? And in that time, I remember Sharon was delegate, and, you know, the triangle and the circle was a thing, and, you know, we lost, you know, the copyright, and should we still use it on our literature? And, you know, yes and no, and, you know, it was this huge thing. And then at the end, it's like there was a lot of loving, long discussion. You know, we didn't all agree. At the end, why are you laughing, Lupita? Little Lupe from Pacoima, eh? No, just kidding. But you know what? Like, we talked about it. Everyone was heard. At that time, you know, I was so new that, like, I wanted to change every paragraph, like, where I found a mistake. And I was like, oh, there's a mistake in line 3, blah, blah, blah. And Sharon was like, okay, yeah. I'll give it to the publishing department. I'm like, but that was the fire I had when I came in with general service. That, like, I had that passion, and I continue to have that passion. You know, I think that everyone that has participated, you know, at the level of a conference, it is like no other spiritual experience that you'll ever go through at all. You know, this year's conference was, what do you call it, a first virtual conference. It was a full virtual conference. It was Zoom, Zoom, and then Zoom some more, and Zoom, Zoom. Yeah, the Zoom fatigue is real. I think, you know, the last day we were on for like 15 hours, and it's not like a regular business meeting, you know what I mean? Because, like, when you're at the conference, it's like, you know, you're reminded, hey, you know, we have like 20 items still that we need to talk about, and we have like 10 hours left. So if we go through these, I mean, so you have to think twice about what you're going to get up and say, or if it's already been said. You've got to be a good listener in general service. You know, I think that that's like, you know, and I think, you know, jumping from chair to delegate was perfect for me because I didn't have an opinion for 2 years. And that was hard, you know, but I learned to listen. You know, and I learned to, like, let the assembly, you know, do what they were supposed to and, you know, just be impartial. And it was hard, I mean, because I like to control everything. You can ask Debbie, I'm a control freak, just like her. We all are. It's true. But you know, in you know, like this year at the conference, we had people come out of WordWorks. I mean, the preamble got changed. And people were, you know, well, how dare you change the preamble? And why did you guys decide to do this? It's been on the conference for like the three past conferences. This is not something that was born yesterday. And that is why, you know, the participation of the groups is so important in this process. Agenda items don't come up out of like the mid-air, and we don't get agenda items, you know, from the courts or, you know, from random people walking in the street. They come from AA members. They come from groups. They come from districts, areas, delegates, trustees. That's how items, you know, make it to an agenda. You know, like, it, the work starts, and it's so fast, and I have to, like, you know, have this pre-conference workshop, and I get to listen to all of your guys' opinion and input on a variety of items. One thing was funny this year at the conference, which was in regards to the person in, they put it as person in custody, but changing the inmate and offender to a more respectable. So at our pre-conference on one day, we had a group of people that went over this item, and they said, yes, change it. And then on the second day, we had another one, no, don't change it. So it was like, you know, this split. And, you know, then I get to the conference, and then I'm like listening, you know, to this, and I'm listening to this, and I'm, you know, I'm just like absorbing it all. And, you know, I'm not shy, so when I wanted to make my point, you know, I got up and I, you know, well, I didn't get up. I just went to the little thing and I raised, yeah, we were the poo panel, point of order, because, I mean, we had so many point of orders with that Zoom, because it was so easy just to, like, raise your hand and want to talk, versus, like, I think having to walk to the mic and then people looking at you and be like, oh, God, there she goes again. and, it, yes, yeah, do you guys know what I'm talking about? But, you know, I was able to talk, and I was the minority opinion on a few occasions. And, you know, that was okay, because at the end, I wanted to do the best job I could possibly do for my area. And I also wanted to do the best job for AA as a whole. You know, it wasn't so much about what Carla wanted or what I thought should be done. It was, you know, the forethought was like, what's best for AA? And, you know, you guys have given me those tools and the ability to do that. Because, I mean, I had blinders before when I came into the rooms. Like, I saw things one way, and I had to convince you that it was my way or the highway, or, you know, that's the only way, you know, it was going to be. And at the conference, you know, it was very spiritual. I've shared this at my conference report backs. I didn't agree with, actually, I spoke to Helen about that one, too. She had a member, yeah. You see, so, like, this whole process in regards to, like, changing inmates and offenders was, like, thoroughly discussed, because there was also a member in her district that had, like, you know, another, you know, view on it. And it was a hard item. I mean, it took us a while. But at the end, you know, they made the change to person in custody. I was like, oh, no, don't do that. That's going to sound like immigration, and it does. You know, well, that was my whole thing, you know, because it hadn't been mentioned. But, you know, when we heard that there was a couple of areas that their literature just wasn't allowed in these facilities at all because of the word inmate and offenders, I think that that's when the decision was made that, you know, like, why are we really holding on to it? I mean, if someone is not able to get it. One of the things I did mention is that, you know, when I was in jail, I wasn't even a human being. I was a number. You know, because, I mean, for those who have been in jail, like, you're not even, you don't even get called by your last name. You get called by your last three or your X number or whatever. And it was a hard, hard discussion. It's going to be on the conference again this year. So if you guys have some more input on that, you know, I would love to hear you if you guys come out to our pre-conference workshop. Anyone has a voice. You know, you don't necessarily have to be a GSR in order to, you know, have a voice. You know, I, as the delegate of the area, I'd like to hear from everyone. People, you know, that, you know, have strong feelings about things, not so strong feelings. Like, that's what I need so I can make a better informed decision when I get to conference. But if only, like, 5% participates of an entire area, then, you know, I end up having to, you know, think that my ideas are good. They're not always good. One of the things that I learned at the conference also this year is that we can agree to disagree. You know, and just because I don't share the same thoughts as you doesn't mean that we can stop like being friends, or you know, even at the general service office, there was a few trustees that I was like, oh, I don't agree with you, but it didn't mean that I was going to be disrespectful or hateful. You know, our program is, you know, loving and tolerant. I always say it's the way that you say things. I mean, sometimes I sound sarcastic, but it is what it is. You know, because that's what general service is. Like, we have to do it all together. There are no, you know, first class or second class alcoholics. You know, in Spanish, we always, you know, because, like, it's funny because now that I'm the delegate, I have people come up to me like, oh, this is Carla, our delegate. And I'm like, and they're, like, shaking my hand. And I'm like, no, I'm still Carla the alcoholica. Okay, like, don't get it twisted. You know, I'm the same length, you know, away from a drink as anyone is. I just, you know, raised my hand and I made myself available, you know, to do a service that has more responsibilities. They all, like, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, you guys are the bosses. No, we're not. We're at the bottom. The groups are the bosses. You know, your groups are the ones that tell us what to do. But, you know, you guys have to want to participate. I hope that, you know, at least anything or something that I said today will motivate at least one person in here to really get involved in general service. If I get one person to get involved into general service, like, my job is done. You know, because general service, like, has saved my ass so many times. I can't believe I'm going to get emotional. This pandemic has been hard. And I think that if it wasn't for general service, I would have gone crazy. Like, seriously. But by having accountability and having to come back and reporting to you, you know, I didn't get to go hide under a rock. You know, and that's what I love about AA. Tara, Esther, my sponsor, my service sponsor, the legend left. I don't know where he went. yeah, that's an inside one. But, you know, you guys have all, you know, even seeing Maureen here, like, I know all of you guys because of general service, and it's like a new family. You know, like, some people have an itch for, like, central offices, others H&I. You know, my itch has been general service. Debbie is our elect trustee nominee for the Pacific region. She made herself available. I'm so excited. Lupe, she was also my previous sponsor. I remember she used to tell me, just leave Que Paso and come, we'll make you the GSR of the group. And I was like, you don't understand the point. So, you know, I, you know, motivate all of you guys, you know, to be a part of. The conference operates probably like all year long. It's not like we just meet once a year. It's an annual meeting once a year where we get, you know, presentations, we get reports, we get some speakers. There's also a pre-conference session. Then committee work starts. I'm serving on the Treatment and Accessibilities Committee. Some delegates have a secondary committee. Lucky me. International conventions and regional forums is my secondary. And it's been nice. We've already had probably a total of 6 meetings so far, and the year has just begun, and we haven't even gotten the final agenda yet. And it keeps me, I don't think I've done a perfect job as delegate, and I probably make mistakes like so much, but at least like I've been willing to like do it and put myself out there, you know. And I know that like in this room, you know, there are possible delegates as well, you know. So I raised my hand. I didn't even think I was going to get to be the delegate. I came out of the hat both times, so it wasn't a popularity contest, like Jeff was saying. And then I, you know, once that they told me, oh, you're the delegate, I was like, oh, crap, now what do I do?
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, I didn't break AA. You know, I haven't broken AA. AA's not, you know, and I don't think I'm going to break it. I only have 1 year left. So, you know. They'll probably break me, you know. And it's just it's been an honor. like, I don't know, this year, Area 93, we sent like two agenda items. So our area is working. You know, we are, you know, there are people who are hungry for general service. I did many report backs. I think my happiest part about being delegate is report backs. I loved going out to like districts and, you know, giving like short reports, long reports. I think I made like 10, 12 PowerPoint presentations because I'm crazy. But, you know, just like the input that you guys give, and even like some hateful emails, you know, like I'm like, yeah, like that's great. I'm happy that you're, you know, that upset you, because maybe you'll come back and participate, you know, because I did get that. I mean, there was a person that said, we didn't give you guys authorization to, like, okay, like, you know, and that happens when we don't participate. And, you know, General Service is the place that we get to participate in, you know, in the United States and Canada and, you know, AA as a whole. Some of the changes last year didn't rub people the right way, the 12 and 12. They changed, I think it was lustful enough to rape. They changed gluttonous enough to ruin their health, all of those. And now it says the seven deadly sins. That was an item that was like discussed and over-discussed and rediscussed, and we did everything we could to that item. But you know, at the end, it went through. There was also the directories. You know, the directories, they wanted to like not print them no more. So they voted and they didn't get printed no more. There's gonna be a new fifth edition of the Big Book with new stories. And actually there's a new item on this year's agenda that says that they don't want none of the 164 pages to change, only add stories. So we'll see how that comes of this conference. And I think one of my favorite and most spiritual moments at the conference was when we approved a simple language Big Book. The motion is that, you know, the fourth edition be translated into a simple language. And I'll tell you why I was moved by that. My son has autism. And my other one, he's ADHD plus. I mean, he's got all kinds of stuff going on. And if I honestly gave either one of them a book of AA, like how it is now, they would not understand it. They would be like, what is this? Like, this is like foreign. They're like the new generation. And, you know, just to know that, you know, we're going to have our Big Book in a simple language, you know, more accessible to those, is like, to me, is like freaking amazing. And it's not like we're replacing it, and it's not like we got the, you know, the dummy version or the smart version. It's just making it more accessible. You know, even for someone that, you know, like me, I hated when my sponsor like wanted me to use the dictionary, and like I'd be like, I don't understand. And you know, it was hard. I mean, I only went to like the 11th grade. It wasn't until recently that I got my high school diploma. So it's crazy what Alcoholics Anonymous does. What else was I gonna say to you? So I gave you that. Oh, you know, please submit your stories when there's a call for stories. Like, we need, like, all the stories that, you know, that we can get. You know, there's also going to be a development of a new pamphlet for the African-American AA member. There's also going to be a new pamphlet for Native Americans. I mean, if you know anyone, you know, that has, you know, those cultural backgrounds, like, ask them and motivate them, you know, to write and submit their stories, because we want them to be diverse so that they can touch more people everywhere. I submitted my story to, like, the Hispanic women's pamphlet, and it was crazy because when I got the background, I'm all reading it, and then it's like, oh, that's me! And, you know, those are God shots. So even when they do the call for the fifth edition, which they'll be doing it soon, they already got a committee member working on it, and the fourth edition, which is Spanish, si quieres hacer el tuyo, en español, you know, just submit them. I want to invite all of you to attend our pre-conference workshop. It'll be in March. It'll be in Bakersfield. We will also have a Zoom pre-conference workshop on a separate date for those that can't participate in person. And I'll end with this. So why do we need a conference? The late Bernard B. Smith, non-alcoholic, then chairperson of the Board of Trustees, and one of the architects of the conference structure, answered that question superbly in his opening talk at the 1954 meeting. We may not need a general service conference to ensure our own recovery. We do need it to ensure the recovery of the alcoholic who still stumbles in the darkness, one short block from this room. We need it to ensure the recovery of the child being born tonight destined for alcoholism. We need it to provide in keeping with our 12-step and a permanent haven for all alcoholics who in the ages ahead can find in AA that rebirth that brought us back to life. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Let's thank our panelists again. Thank you so much. All right. We have...